want you to whisper now.
Welcome to the world of Wordsea.
Tell us about your dream.
My dream about an angel flying and a cat and looking at it and making a weird space and looking at its whiskers and having in baby and chicks and baby chicks falling from the sky and eggs like in with his beaks coming out of the eggs.
Today's shipping news: the near inimitable whisper trawlers, the light and agile scout boats that allowed so many a Clarissian admiral to maintain a malaria-free mistress in the downland during their early forays into the damp ports of Ash, were destined for an early retirement as their captain's brigades established posts ashore, lush with the low priestesses of Chogashima at the near and ready. No more need for fortnightly jaunts to pursue their amorous whims. These sprightly ships, though, have found new life as the fleet of whisper trawlers, featherweight isle movers. The snares of ocean grass have proven to be no match for flying vessels like Devil's Dandy and Bob Jarnigan. The two ships have made quite a career of rearranging the less anchored geography peppered just west of the Black Pole. Imagine the sneers of high Yamaqui shore guards as they watch the diminutive skiffs enter their marsh, licking their toothless gums at the sight of easy prey, only to see a Clarissian private, greener than their own tongues, drop a few small cables into the shallow murk and proceed to tow away a many-acred island, perhaps with a few of the younger members of their brood still aboard the landmass, fishing with thorn branches or pursuing one of their inane ball-and-box contests. Those sneers will surely turn to tears.
In 1855, a group of madmen and mercenaries, led by William Walker, invaded Nicaragua and conquered it. I was with them. That was where I learned of Genevieve, the woman that was to be my doom. And listener, this woman, who may as well be standing just behind you, craning her head around to peek into your ear hole as though it were a keyhole, she might be your doom too. The greatest magician I ever met was a strange little elf of a blackguard named Robert Thompson. Robert Thompson had been an artillery sergeant with the East India Company in the Karnataka. But in 1854, he found himself penniless in San Francisco, selling maps of a country that did not exist to miners even more desperate than himself. It was there that he was recruited by one William Walker for an expedition to Nicaragua in charge of the artillery. I never actually saw Robert Thompson fire a cannon, but I did see him fire off his mouth. I drew the unfortunate duty of guarding Robert Thompson the night before he was sentenced to death, shot from the cannon's mouth, as had the sepoy in East India during their rebellion. Robert Thompson had been sentenced thus for striking his superior officer and disobeying orders. To be shot from the mouth of a cannon is a terrible business. I have often heard crucifixion given the crown of execution methods, but, friends, to be shot from the cannon's mouth is to be crucified and then blasted into the bargain. As when the sepoy rebelled in India, for the East India Company gave them cartridges, which in those days had to be bitten, greased with lard, a mortal sin for the Musulman, which all sepoy were, the captured rebels were tied, hand and foot, to the wheels of a cannon. The barrel in their backs almost folded them in two over backwards. You may be sure many a man indeed was doomed to struggle a night and a day with broken ribs, if not spine, with their hands and feet turning purple and black, and some splitting open even to the bone for the tightness of their bonds, roasting under a merciless sun with their hell-bound fellows writhing and cursing on either side of them. Then the ants and the flies are crawling all over them, and in their noses, over their pizzles and arseholes, for every man Jack was newborn naked. And then, just as the sun goes down, the drums start to call, and that fizzing wick comes down the line, and one by one the cannons burp that awful muffled bark with no report, but a sickening sound, like a bucket of slop a-slapping and a-thumping on the dust. And when their turn comes, the English of the orders, bristly, and Scotsman's mustache, are screamed right into their bloody ears, and the ball passes right through them. The corked cannon pops them like a sack of guts kicked by a horse off a fence post. Some of them fly right in two, but those that don't, they cut them down and let them fall forward into the bed of their own innards. Some spook a pillow or rope, and more than one lain gasping like a gutted fish, wondering what became of their god, smelling their own bile and tasting their own offal, as a man stands and makes sure their face is full of it, mingling with dust turning to mud of their own blood. It is no way to execute a Christian. But Robert Thompson was no ordinary insubordinator. I was told to stand guard over him the night. He had been tied to a mountain gun, with bonds so tight his hands were a pewter gray before they were done with his feet. They had done this at sunset, and left him to play there all night and all morning, to give him the mercy of seeing him off at the height of noon, and sparing him the very hottest part of day. I had strict orders not to speak a word to him. I had even been issued waxed cotton for to stop my ears, if his pleading were to become unbearable. And neither was I to touch him, nor to wipe his brow, bring water to his lips, nor spit whiskey between my teeth at his eyes from 5 paces. And yet, my listener, I was no match for this man, bound as he was. Robert Thompson had kept to himself. And yet, over drinks of whiskey and balls of dope, he still peddled his strange little maps. Scraps of rumor, rich mines, in a region no one had ever heard of. He would only whisper it and swear his dupe's secrecy. I had heard nothing but the worst of the worst of this odd little bugger, and the wisdom of his execution was beyond doubt. Part of me, truth be told, felt a kind of childish glee in participating in his torment, for how often does one feel justified in the infliction of pain, especially on an equal? In my experience, almost never. Indeed, I have cursed the pagan left in me that has relished in the discomfort of mortal foes against Christ's command. But here I felt no torment was too Roman for the traitor. More of his unforgivable crime I will relate than I have, but not yet. Enough to say his pain disturbed me more for its graphic extremity, which was Gothic, than because of the charity my religion made my duty. It was morbid fascination that drew me to observe him as closely as I dared. Thompson, as I say, was a queer little fellow, not much taller than 5 feet, of a stocky, squarish construction with large feet and small hands, and down of straight red hair all over, tending to thickness on the chest and nether regions, lycanthropically. He wore flourishing whiskers, so abundant they tended to the comical, and his little bald head seemed the only part of him matched with his palms and soles for hairlessness. He was circumcised. He was an old campaigner. As a member of that club, he had the sun-kissed leathery face that complicated guessing his age. Wrinkled as he was, he had not aged as a result of years per se. There was even an obscene tenderness to the flesh men conceal habitually. He could have been halfway past 30. He could have been near 60. His face was a bright pink for the efforts he made to overmaster the pain his bonds caused him for tightness and the cannon mouth in his back. Round about midnight, I came very close to study his hands, which had become as swollen and juicy as ripe blueberries, thinking they just might burst. When he made, despite all the pain it must have caused him, a curious sign, a curling and a writhing that made his finger seem almost boneless, that directed me to look up into his eyes, and I realized he had been whispering to me for some time. I can illuminate your life with the benefit of my radiant presence. Life is so close to death all the time. I wondered if I should reach into my pockets and use the waxed cotton I had been given. But I have to admit, listener, there was something in his eyes, a mirth, a glee, as though this were all some sort of bizarre lark, a game. And his words, he seemed to think, were incredibly witty. And I have to admit, I wanted to get the joke. So I listened a bit longer. There is a brotherhood. This gave me pause. I knew he was no mason or oddfellow. Wouldn't have ended up, if he were, tied to a field gun in the dust. But once again, there was some sort of strange conviction, a confidentiality, that I was drawn to, almost against my will. We will live like lords off the spoils of our conquests. The cat women. The women are truly free. You don't need to fear that. We need to build a country where women are truly free. Do you even understand the height we fall from? Have you ever noticed that words don't mean what they seem to mean? The more you look into them, have you ever listened to a tune and learned you didn't love it as you thought you did because you loved a tune it seemed to be, but that the tune only suggested something your mind still wants to hear, a face it still wants to but has not seen? We have to drink human blood, the blood of our enemies. I feel like, have felt for many years, that I am born along in this body, that I tell someone else's hands what to do, that I feel what I feel on behalf of someone else, always yearning to slip away to the other world, the better world.
I asked him if he understood how insane, how justifiably punishable what he was saying was.
We follow the way we believe in. I will tell you a story, and it will become your story. The way you will enter the word sea. Both the key and the gate. It is our story. Our stories that create us. The path that guides you. You will survive the rigors of my neglect. But be clear. No man survives my attention. If I think a man needs his head cut off, I'll do the job myself and get pretty friendly about it. We have to be able to do as we please, when we please.
Of course, I had heard enough. I reached into my pockets and pulled out the waxed cotton, ready to silence forever this man's lunacy, at least for my ears. When he gave the most bizarre little laugh. And it chilled me to the bone. And he said, just before I put the plugs in,
"Boy, look at my hands. Don't listen to my voice. Look at my hands."
So I looked at his right hand, and his thumb and his forefinger were about 2 inches apart. He brought them together, then separated them again, and from between them, dropping into the dust with a plop, was a ruby the size of a robin's egg.
There's more, so much more where that came from.
All right, old man. I'm listening.
We must go. We must go together. To Wordsea. And go with the Clarissians. To the coast of Sin. And there, we will worship Genevieve. And we will live forever.
I picked up the ruby.
Yes, yes. Look into the ruby and tell me what you see. Hold it to the light and observe. The richest rubies have infinite dimensions. What do you see? Tell me. Words. The ruby was made of words. Careful now, lad. The ruby can drink your soul. Look for Genevieve. She is the focus of the eye that reads the world.
Yes, I see her.
And her world? Where is it?
It exists in the rays of the English language as they disappear into the irretrievable past. Do you see her dark shining hair in the May morning? The language glows all around her, illuminating the world she makes. In the disappearing aerosol of dreams, lost in the dust of forgotten books, its soft light stretching out into the bottomless shafts of forever, where fluttering scraps of poetry snow on headstones erased by rain, and their uncrowned queen, the lady of the forest, the dame of the hunt, Genevieve. Oh, Robert Thompson. When will we get to Genevieve?
I'll tell you. As soon as we get there.
And where is there?
Sin, my boy. The coasts of sin.
The Republic of Sin, seizing liberty through vice, must always be murdering masters. The Republic of Sin counsels liberty through vice and celebrates every disaster. Above and away through the night to the day, the free men are flying to fight. Under the hills where their bones will lie still, the stones tremble under their tread. The Republic of Sin, seizing liberty through vice, must always be murdered. To the heart.